Welcome to the Growing Freedom Podcast. I am your host, Travis Horner. I'd like to thank everyone for listening and subscribing, etc., with the podcast. We'll get right into it today. I'll be talking about the book that I've been working on right now. I sort of hinted at it in the past. I'm in the process right now of writing. A little bit and a lot to do with, I suppose, what I've talked about on the podcast here in the past 3 years now. I guess technically it's 3 years old. It's going to be talking about the human revolution. And it's sort of going to be titled that way, Growing Freedom, a Human Revolution. And I'll be talking about what that means, where the book's going to be coming from, etc. today, and I hope you enjoy it. So finally, I've got some time in here in my hectic schedule to sit down and do a podcast. I've been wanting to do one for a while. I'm behind where I want to be, so I'll probably be recording two or three here in the next couple of days and sort of spread them out however it fits. But anyway, it's finally cool in the evening. I don't have to run the air to keep the equipment cool, and I can actually, not have to have you listen to that constant buzz in the background from it, so... Anyway, a human revolution. Obviously, if you've heard me talk before on the podcast, that I think the society in general, the culture, where we're going is backwards. Where we've come from, the technology, etc., yes, it's nice and cool, and I'm with everybody. All the nice, cool gadgets that help our lives in many ways. Okay, that's awesome and everything. We've gotten to the point that it seems to me everything we do is backwards. And I've talked about that here, I believe even in the last podcast. The more of the philosophy is what it means to be a human being, we've lost touch of. And there's various other people who do podcasts, trying to get us back to remember the old ways. Not necessarily going back to the 1800s and live that lifestyle, but remember those skills and live life in that way, where you don't necessarily need lots of money and need lots of material possessions because there's no need for it. And making the case is basically what this first book is going to be doing. A little bit into the process and what do we do, how do we do it. Of course, this is all coming from my example and my ideas. And some of I've given here in the podcast, but into a book form. The book will be available. I don't know exactly the date, but it probably will be doing some sort of Indiegogo type of thing to raise revenue. I plan on publishing this myself, so I have full control over it, etc., etc. And the first, few people who donate, to that, obviously, they'll get a free book, but basically trying to raise that revenue up to publish it to get it out. At some point, I might, hire a publishing company to put a bunch of it out, but we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, getting more into specifics, and making the case here for why we're making the book, just giving an idea of what the book's, how it's really going to go, to pique your interest if you're interested in the read possibly. I guess it basically starts out, if someone were to ask me a question, if I were king or president for a day, what would I do? How would I change things? Well, this is sort of what I would do, and oddly enough, it's very possible and doable for everyone. Not to mention the lifestyle that results from it is a win-win for everyone, and I'll explain that as I go through the podcast today. We find ourselves in an economic situation in this country and throughout the world, and this book definitely is not just focus on the United States. Obviously, I live here and see what's happening here specifically, but it's not just for here. It's for everyone, for all humanity. We've gotten ourselves into economic turmoil across the world, and the only side right now that anyone can see is down. Because they see the debt, here specifically in the United States, trillions and trillions of dollars, and there's no way that anybody can see feasible to climb out of it. There's going to have to be a reset of currency, or something's going to happen. Nobody knows for sure. But what I do know for sure is that there is a way around it for you and for me and those who choose a different lifestyle. Everybody's always worried about jobs and economics. I'm not worried about jobs and economics. And I will give you the reasons again why. Specifically, myself, in the case made throughout the book, will be, well, if you take care of more things, become more self-sufficient, more responsible, then you're less dependent on the quote-unquote system. What is the system? Well, we all know the system is what you're dependent on right now. If you had no money and no way to get money, how long could you survive without depending on someone else? Now, in a perfect world, yes, we would love the ability that we could live 100% free from the system. Is that doable? Yes and no. Is that probable? Again, that's a question mark. But getting to the point where you require as little as possible from the organized system, that's where your freedom comes from. And all the basic needs that you are require to continue living can easily, once the system is set up, and this is why it can do in permaculture and such things, a redundant system takes care of everything. You have your shelter taken care of, you have fire taken care of, you know, your heating and cooling, you have your food, your water, even as far as your security. You take care of all these things yourself, and you don't rely on somebody else to take care of that for you. And this can be set up, you know, in a small land area, if you will, if you want to be specific and get down to that. You know, an acre or two, you could easily produce enough food that way. You can produce a lot of other things that you wouldn't necessarily be thinking about that you would need to produce. Just going into specifics here for a minute. You need to wash your dishes and you need to have a soap. Well, you can grow specific plants that can help produce your soap. You can grow specific plants that can become a sponge and take care of cleaning your dishes. And you can use various means to pump your water. So you've taken care of that whole washing idea with what you can do yourself. So that's just one small example that once you learn the information, know how to do it, you're that much more freer in that area. Now, I already know that some of the naysayers are going to say, well, we need people to do various services and various jobs to keep general systems running that we all need. Well, that's true. But not everyone, and nowhere near the many people, are required to do those jobs, especially with technology as advanced as becoming and gets better all the time. Do we really need everyone going in, that goes and sits behind a desk every day to go sit behind a desk? No, we don't. Do we need even as many health practitioners if we're all living a healthier lifestyle by not eating GMO foods, not putting the drugs into our bodies, and going down the natural path of taking care of ourselves, the need and the dependence on the medical establishment will be reduced. Therefore, less people would need to be in those fields. More people could live on the homestead. And this goes back to traditional values here as well. What is wrong with trading a doctor's visit for a bushel of apples or tomatoes like it used to be? There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing wrong with that is those who see that is they want the almighty dollar, the cash, the greed aspect that comes in. See, the doctor would need to be provided for. the apples and the tomatoes and wherever it would be, because his service keeps his time away from the individual. The individual time that he would need to put in to growing his own food. Yes, he could have some perennial trees, whatever, and bushes on his property to take care of some of that need, but he doesn't have the day in and day out time available to tend to that. Or it's a person in homestead who wouldn't only need the doctor maybe a couple times a year to come take care of something. They would have those resources to offer. And this goes to the multiple fields of people who serve the community. If we require ourselves to need a security force or a police force, in that same note, we can, as a community, see, it's not just the individual. The individual self-sufficiency, yes, I can know that. I also have been, for years, talking about the community and bringing a group of people who are all self-sufficient, or as possibly as they can be, together. They create a system. They have a system of trade and barter for one, for what one has. Let's say one person, again, focuses more on raising beef, and some people don't necessarily, they have one or two cows, but they don't grow beef as far as providing that as a food source. They have a couple cows for milk or whatever. And maybe they don't even have that. The person who specializes in that can trade with the person who specializes in a various fruit or vegetable or other service, like carpentry. See, this is the system that the fundamentals of our country here in the United States was built on. The small entrepreneurs who had whatever their business was a service to help the community. The economics of the community was strong because everything evolved and was traded and stayed in the community back and forth. There was no need to worry about lots of money and worried about an economic collapse or even a, to a general sense, even a disaster as far as weather, because everyone in the community would come together because the whole community needed each other for the community to thrive. And if someone wasn't pulling their weight, and people visit and say, hey, you haven't been doing this, this, and this. Or if someone falls on hard times, the community comes in and helps them out until they're back on their feet again. Or if someone needs a barn built, they have a barn raising for that person. Everyone takes a weekend out, they'll have a potluck, everyone gets together, they build the barn and whatever, and it's done. Taking 50 men to go build a barn versus one guy doing it, it happens in a fraction of the time. You see how the community thing works, how the self-sufficient community works. You see, then we can expand that into multiple communities. Let's say three or four communities like this in a county. This county becomes very self-sufficient. And let's say we want to retain electricity, because we like electricity, we all need it, we depend on it, okay? Let's add a community, let's say a local city, town, or even a countywide aspect, look at what are our energy needs and what can we do to take care of our energy needs for our community. Maybe we can go together and pool in and create a green energy or a sustainable energy system for the entire county. We might have some solar panels and wind turbines on our personal properties, but as a community, we also can create a system whereas we all put a little bit into the system that is kept by someone who we hire as a community to take care of that. So we say we have an array of solar panels in a place that would work, or combined with other systems, hydroponic or hydroponic, that's not what I meant. But you know what I'm saying. Hydroelectric. Whatever system it is that we're using, we have someone who takes care of that, who maintains that. And if there's something that needs to be replaced, it goes to the community. we take care of that. Then the electricity that's provided to all those in the community, there is an electric bill because we provide this for ourselves in our community. And if the community has any excess, they can trade with the next community. This is the fundamentals of what it means to be human, how we survived for thousands and thousands of years. Just because we have technology and electricity and all this stuff in the current age does not mean that we need to put off the ways that have always worked. Most people throughout time did not go somewhere else and do a job somewhere else. They had something they did that they were good at, and they provided that service or that value to everyone else in the area. This is what it means to be a human being. We're caretakers of this earth, and we're caretakers of each other. We're a community-based, just like many animals and etc. out there. We flock together and work together, and that's what we do. That's why we call ourselves a society or a culture. It's a collection of people who do a certain thing. This is the point that I will be expressing primarily in the book, that this is the real way. And of course, at the beginning, setting up the plan as why the system we have now doesn't work. We're all dependent on somebody else to take care of us. We're depending on an employer to give us money to pay for food. We're depending on a grocery store to provide that food for us so we can trade our money for it. We're, for our safety, for example, we're dependent upon a police force or a government or whatever else to take care of our safety, where we could be doing that at a personal and at a community level. And, you know, it's funny. If people have more of a responsibility and they have that feeling like, gee, I did that, I guarantee that there's going to be less people who want to victimize other people. Are there always the exceptions to that? Yes, there are. Because there's people, in my opinion, who are just innately evil. And as a society, as a community, we'll deal with those people. Those people won't last long because if they don't put their input in, then they're not allowed in that community. We'll just kick them out. If you don't pull your weight, go somewhere else and see if they want to deal with you. And before some people get a little bit too much into, oh, you're sort of hinting at socialism, no, that's not where I'm going at all. I'm saying we're all independent, each other. Each of us are independent. But as a community also, if we choose to, we can create a strong community that is independent itself. This is just how people work. This is the fundamentals of how it's always been. We've been an agricultural society, a farming society, however you want to call it. Excuse me. In my opinion, more of a gardening society. That is, or society is the wrong word there also, but a gardening people. From forever ago, for the last 2,000 years anyways, we have been gardening. Not so much agriculture or farmers, but people have been gardeners. We raise enough in a garden close to the house to take care of our needs. Currently, they were, you know, eating, drinking, whatever. And we're also taking that and preserving that to take us through the hard times, through the winter, to make sure we survive until the next spring, summer, do it all over again. This has been done this way, like I said, for thousands of years. There's nothing wrong with it. Why would you, I'll just give you the question. Would you prefer to wake up in the morning, whenever you felt like waking up, walking outside, open the chicken coop up, or whatever you need to do for whatever various livestock you have, after you've made your cup of coffee, whatever you wanted to do, let the chickens run out, watch the sun rise, and then decide, oh, what am I going to do today? Am I going to go trim those trees, or am I going to go over here and work on that fence or, you know, whatever you decide that you want to do today, versus getting up at a time that you have to get up, rushing, and then driving through traffic, being forced to eat food that isn't healthy because it's more convenient, doing something you don't want to do for the next 30, 40 years of your life, and then being dependent on everybody else other than yourself for all your needs for the rest of your life. See, those are the two scenarios. The banking system, it's not sustainable that we currently live in. The food system that we currently find ourselves interlocked in, it's the multiple systems, but also is not sustainable. Modern agriculture, there's no way it's sustainable. It's on the verge of collapse now. Our security system that we have now, not sustainable. I could make the case and go into the nth degree on why it's not sustainable. Actually, I will talk about that here for a minute. Why is our police departments and fire departments, etc., in the way it's set up right now, unsustainable? Because we have to pay the retirement and the retirement benefits to all those that retire out of the city that has, they're already in debt, and they don't have the money to pay for it now. It's going to get worse. So the economics don't allow for the current systems of law enforcement, safety, etc., to be sustained. It's impossible because the economic system, if it were set up on a volunteer basis or based on a trade and barter back to a traditional system, and we only had a few people responsible for that, and we don't need 500 people in the police force because we police ourselves, we have a few people to take care of some mundane tasks that we don't want to do, how it was initially set up to be, you know, the Andy Griffith idea. That's sustainable. Paying the livelihood, taking care of the entire livelihood of a police officer or firefighter like we do now, is unsustainable. Just like why you going to work and you being dependent on everybody else to take care of you, see, non-sustainable. Now, if we're taking care of ourselves, let's say I'm a police officer or a firefighter, well, I'm not on duty all the time. No more like a doctor is on duty or on call, and that's a little bit more difficult on the time. Let's say I'm a police officer, firefighter, EMT, whatever I am. I'm not on call. I'm on call, I'd say, maybe 8 hours a day to do what I need to do. So I have other man waking hours, you know, 6-8 more hours, depending on the time of year. Plus, I have family. I can do quite a bit to take care of myself. I can raise my own food, livestock, vegetables, fruit, etc. I can have my own security, obviously. I can have my own water taken care of. I can provide for my own housing, on and on and on. The more people who get to the self-sufficient, independent lifestyle, the less dependent that officer is on the system and other people to, say, pay his salary. He doesn't need as much salary. We're just compensating for his time he can't be on his homestead. And homestead doesn't necessarily mean acres and acres. A half acre to an acre, plenty for many people. Again, not everybody is going to need or want to raise livestock. But most people can learn, and through permaculture type systems, can raise plenty of food on a half acre to an acre to take care of themselves throughout the year. Sort of switching directions here slightly, I like to take on the whole education idea and how we can fix that as well. The whole idea of public education, in my opinion, how it is now, it's a joke, really. There are aspects of it that are good. Some of the reasons why it works is because we have both parents going out and working, and they need someone to watch their kids anyways while they go to work. So it just works. The kids go to school, mom and dad go to work, they all come home around the same time, and they see each other maybe 2 or 3 hours a day. Versus we also do have modern technology. And I'm not opposed to going back to the one-room schoolhouse type thing in a local community. What's wrong with having a school every couple blocks or in the rural area? Let's say every square mile there's a little schoolhouse where somebody locally volunteers to teach the children. Maybe that changes every week, that a different parent will take on that responsibility. It all could vary based on how we want to do it as individuals and as a community. Also, with modern technology, we have the internet and such things. We have universities who offer classes online. I've even seen a little bit in my research offering the idea of schooling online. And some people say, well, what about the social aspects? If you are living this lifestyle and building the community, the social aspects already are there taken care of. So isn't a schooling supposed to be based on learning? So we devote, you know, maybe 2-3 hours a day for that child to study using the internet or whatever aspects they want to, a schoolhouse locally that they can walk to. See, that takes care of the education. And then we also, as parents, are keeping that responsibility and taking that responsibility upon ourselves to educate our children instead of sending them off to somebody else to educate them for us. It's the same idea. Taking that responsibility upon ourselves versus dishing it out to somebody else to take care of it for us. It's the same thing. Everything, every topic you talk about is the same thing. The freedom comes from taking the responsibility upon yourself and to not dish it out to somebody else. So a couple of scenarios. We have an energy crisis. The dollar collapses. There's a pandemic. Whatever you want to put in there as far as a tragedy. In a community that's functioning as I described, and this community functioned like this less than 100 years ago, people. This is how communities functioned. And even in the Great Depression, they handled it better than we would nowadays because this is how life functioned. At that point, it was moving a little bit away from the farming lifestyle, even at that point. But there was enough of it. The people took their responsibility upon themselves, and they made it through. It was rough, but they were able to feed themselves and take care of themselves. If the Depression would have happened 50 years prior to when it did, it would have faced people, they probably might not have even knew what happened. There were people that I know who went through the Depression, they really didn't know that from anything else. It didn't affect their life. They lived on the farm, they were self-sufficient, and they took care of their own animals. They didn't really have any issues. They didn't understand what's going on. They didn't use money for very much anyway, so they didn't have any effects. Could it still be difficult for people to go through something like that? Yes. But you'd make it through it a lot better. Because the community in itself and whole is sheltered a little bit from each of these things. The economic aspect of it, diversified, close-knit community that trades and barters and has self-sufficient, independent people, well, that community thrives. Their economics are based on their local economy, their local people, not based on a national or state level. So something that happens, the stock market crashes, it doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. They don't care. This is a little bit of an insight. Of course, there's a lot more into the book on where I can talk about and go into length in each aspect. But hopefully you get a little glimpse here anyways of what's possible. And more people would prefer to do this than what they're doing than you would possibly could imagine. And if more people did. Now let's get to the part that really matters. We're worried about the poor people. We're worried about hunger. Can we feed ourselves? Can we feed ourselves healthy? Can we get rid of the GMOs? All the stuff that I talk about. Well, the more people who are living on the homestead, raising their own food, guess what? There's more people who have a surplus. Well, they might need to make or want to make a few dollars here and there, so they can just offer some of their surplus for whatever they feel it's valuable for, trade and barter, or possibly make a couple dollars here on the side to take care of whatever bills, luxuries they want to have. It's not just that, yeah, there's services and whatever they could provide, but there's the solution for that as well. That surplus is there to help somebody who is in need, to bring in that revenue that you needed to purchase new fencing or whatever it may be. It's a wholesome situation, a self-sufficient, self-reliant lifestyle. Not only is it beneficial in all ways I've exploited before, it's also a very luxurious lifestyle. Because we have a leg up on the people of the past who live this lifestyle. We do have technology now. We have ways to make life easier and live that way now. I don't know if you've ever been on an Amish farm in your lifetime. I have, they're all around me everywhere. The only difference between what I'm describing in the typical Amish family right now pretty much is electricity. They use propane right now to take care of what we use for electricity. They have refrigerators, some of them. They're propane refrigerators. And they run their lights on propane, etc. in the evenings. There's one thing I've always noticed about the Amish around here. If you go deal with an Amish man or purchase something from him, or they want to buy something from you, they open their wallet, it's full of cash. Why? They have no expenses. Their land's paid for. They provide their own food. If they want to go buy some food, it's all extra. They don't travel a long ways. Even the Mennonites who around here do have vehicles, they only travel when they need to. And this is something else I want to talk about, if I can remind myself, on the vehicle aspects. But that Amish lifestyle is so close. If and when, and some are, bringing in that technology into the lifestyle, what issues do they have? Okay, their food, shelter, security, their water, all this stuff, they already have taken care of. They have a system set up to take care of all of that, every bit of it, right now. The only thing they have to do to get to lifestyle that you would accept is adding moderate conveniences to it. Just enough that you need. You could even have your TV, you can have your computer, you can have whatever you want. You're adding that one little aspect of electricity that I've already gave the solution to that too. Now, getting rid of some of the waste that we come up with and some of the surpluses and excesses and waste, things that we don't need, that's where a lot of people are going to resist. This next part I'm going to talk about, people are going to resist and going to resist hard. You may disagree. Guess what? You need one, maybe two vehicles, and I'll explain. For most people, they'll need one vehicle. One vehicle, when they need to go somewhere, when they absolutely need to go somewhere for with the family. Or they save up and they go on Christmas and visit family or whatever it is. If they minimize the use of a car to only the places they need to go, I mean need, not want, not, well, I'd like to, no, need to go. Your gasoline that you use in a year, you laugh at how much it would be. Also, those who are transporting goods and services might need a possible vehicle as a work vehicle, a truck, a van, something of that nature. But generally, that's all someone's going to need. And for the most part, if we could eliminate all the excess stuff, like excess cars that we don't need, and travel only when we need to travel, Okay, that takes into the world of insurance. If you only drive your car once a month to town to maybe trade or buy some sugar or salt or something you can't provide for yourself, what's the logic on insuring that vehicle? What's the chances you're going to get into an accident? And, okay, if there is insurance on the vehicle, which could be a good thing to do, how about having very minor kind of coverage, and how cheap would that be that you only drive that vehicle once a month? And everyone knows that's how it works because everyone only drives very little. So the insurance person, maybe somebody locally, probably would be in this scenario, and they realize, well, yeah, we never drive very far or very much unless we have to. So our insurance prices will be down. Maybe you'd end up paying $100 a year because you never drive the thing more than 10, 12 times a year because you don't need to. Locally, we could bicycle around because we'll have more free time. You're not at work. You can walk places because, well, you're not in a hurry to get anywhere. There's so many things that we can put into that. And I'm not against vehicles. We need vehicles. What a vehicle can do, for example, a truck, how much weight they can pull for the energy they use is astronomical versus you trying to carry that weight. It's an awesome thing. So I'm not against technology, but let's use technology in a smart way. Let's stop abusing the excess. Let's stop taking a trip down the road just because we want to drive down the road. That doesn't make sense. Just like going to work in 8-9 hours a day someplace you hate doesn't make sense. Go do something you love to do. A real quick thing here, something that everyone could do, and if everyone who listens to my podcast, and everybody you know who listens to my podcast, and they talk to two people, and they all did this, you wouldn't have to worry about food in this country ever again. All that stuff that I've talked about this before, that grows in your yard, that stuff called grass, replace that with something that you would eat, or that an animal will eat or want to eat, and actually feed that to an animal or you. That solves food issues right there. Just that right there. And how much lawn is there in just one state or just the United States? How much lawn? And how much do we do to take care of those lawns? How much money we put into those lawns? How much time and effort we put into those lawns? How much gasoline do we spend on a year just to cut that grass? Where that could be cut, whatever it would be, and fed to a livestock? Versus being cut and just being cut and just being cut? You see the excess I'm talking about here? And so here's the thing. If we get rid of the stupid excess, we'll have more time and energy to allow ourselves to have the good excess. Here's an example. Well, if you're not spending all that money on things that you don't really want or don't really need because you're not keeping up with the Joneses anymore, then you can allow yourself to have a little bit more luxuries that have a dual purpose, that has three or more values, the whole permaculture type principle here. So you want to have a jacuzzi or a swimming pool on your property. Cool, do it. Why? Because that offers multiple applications. You see, your swimming pool could empty into your greenhouse or be pumped into your greenhouse and water the plants and then be filtered through. And after that, they go out of your outdoor garden, out of your greenhouse. Maybe that water that comes into your swimming pool at first is rainwater. So that's actually, the swimming pool is actually a storage area for your rainwater or your hot tub. And how many redundancies can you use that swimming pool water or that hot tub water for? Also, the hot tub or swimming pool inside your greenhouse would help moderate the temperature in your greenhouse. So there's two or three things that it's already done already. This is what we need to think of. See, there's a luxury that I offered early on that you can have from this lifestyle. You can have more things. You can have your personal gym if you want to exercise a certain way right there, because it's there. You'll have the time because you're not going working for so-and-so to provide that money for you to take care of you, because you choose not to take care of yourself. The more you look into this, and some people will be more resistant, some people will see this right away and like, that's what I want to do. The difficult part that I deal with, anybody who sees this deals with, it's so hard to break free from the system. I've been working on it for a long time now, and I'm still not completely free of the system. Now, a few more things in my life happen the way that I want to, then I'll be there. Then I have to work on not just me. I've got to work on everybody around me that I'm already doing, but I have to work even harder to get everyone in my local community to think the same way and start living in the same way, to create that redundancy, not just my property, but their property, so I can trade and barter with them. And here's the thing. When that all gets said and done, we'll be able to do things like limit the size of government, one, because our vote will mean a lot, because we're in this close-knit community, and we take care of our local elections and issues very seriously, and we're very into what's happening locally. So therefore, the local community, well, we generally agree, and we take care of those issues fast. So our voice is heard locally very loud. And so into the state hears local communities like that very loud. And that power trickles up. So when you have a whole entire state of people like this, the federal government's not going to step over and do anything. Actually, what will happen is the federal government would eventually be put to its place and go back into the role that it belongs. Taking care of the roads, national security, etc. Things of that nature that they're supposed to be doing, instead of all this blah 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 they don't need to be doing. Anyway, I don't want to spend too long on this podcast today. I hope that you've got the glimpse, and hopefully that you see the idea of what's going to happen in this book and got a glimpse of what I'm going to be talking about here. I didn't go specifics how the book's going to be all structured and laid out, but this is the idea that it's going to be talking about. And I hope you find it intriguing. I've always, comments, observations, whatever, always welcome. You can always email me, angerandfreedompodcast@gmail.com. And I'll respond as soon as possible. Sometimes it takes me time, because sometimes I forget to check the email. I get so busy doing other things. But hopefully you've liked this podcast today. And hopefully you feel like I do. And you want to get started in that lifestyle. As I've said, I'm here always to help anybody else who wants to get started and go that direction. It's a rough way to go, but anything that's worth doing is going to have some negative feedback. Some people around you aren't going to see it, and they're going to say you're crazy. But anything worth doing, yeah, there's going to be some stuff that gets in your way, and that makes it worth doing. With all that said, thank you very much for listening. Again, I am Travis Warner. This is the Growing Freedom Podcast. And as always, planting seeds for a better tomorrow, growing freedom one step at a time. Take care.